It's the biggest regret of my life, Lemon. And I once made love to Kathy Hilton.
Do you want a hug?
What is this, the Italian Parliament? No, thank you.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 15.
Woo!
In what is hopefully going to be a long and drawn-out series. Thanks for joining us. Of course, this is the show that that drops bombs of awesome into your ear holes. I have some special guests today here with us who are going to share some stories. But first, we would like to say that we are now. Actually, let me get a drum roll here. We are now on Stitcher. Stitcher is like a Pandora radio app for your smartphones. You can also get it on your computer. And they were nice enough to load us on there. And now you can hear us every week on that, on Stitcher.com. Check that out. And please remember, you know, if you listen to the show, if you like the show, leave reviews for the show on Zune Marketplace. And you can also give us a thumbs up on Stitcher now. And let us know how we're doing here. And now that there's like 200 of you that are listening to this show every week, make sure you do that. I have to do a little bit of a correction from last week's show, episode 14. I said that the guys from Planned Parenthood, they're going to be coming on the show at some point in October, or Planned Brotherhood. Oops, that's another correction. We'll do that in episode 16. But these guys, I said PJ and I think Andy is the name that I gave the guy, but his name is not Andy, it is Nick. And I am a fucking moron for that. But great show. Check it out. Planned Brotherhood. And they're going to be a lot of fun. So we've got a bevy of news stories to talk about today. One, Mark Zuckerberg, the dude from Facebook, the man himself, went on Oprah, and he is going to give like $100 million to a donation for schools. Yeah, right. You've probably heard that story already, and then I, you know, took a long time to tell you what it was, but that's okay. You live through it. And then we also have another story about Stephen Colbert, who was invited to testify before Congress, and a little happening happened there, and he was asked to leave, and we'll talk about that for a little bit. But first, let me get these dudes all dialed in here. We have Tony Hornstein and Alex Lilario with us. How's it going, guys?
Not too bad, my buddy. How are you doing?
Great. Good.
Go
I'm doing great. And you know what I totally forgot is that I have these little sound drops. Kind of let's see if I can. Yeah. Hold on, man. This is my show. I can take as long as I fucking want.
We're getting bored over here.
Let's see. First, we'll do that one. Little rim shot. And then, so. Oh, dude.
My agent,
I didn't have that one
dialed
up.
Sound drop.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And I fucked it up.
Because you're ugly and retarded.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, okay? But being retarded is okay in this day and age. You know what? I can't even find the sound drops that I was going to do, so we'll just skip that. And maybe I'll put that in later because it is a podcast and we can do that. It's not illegal. So you guys, you went on a trip to Peru recently.
That's correct.
Right? You guys got back, what, a couple weeks ago or so?
A couple months ago.
About a month and a half.
A couple months. Okay. Yeah.
6 years ago.
That's my internal clock. It's all messed up.
No worries. It's still real fresh right up here.
Right up there. You got some stories ready to tell us and stuff. There may even be a poo story in there somewhere.
Could be a poo story.
Yeah. I got one of my own. So we'll share those a little bit later. But first, I wanted to touch on really quick that the new fall seasons of television started kind of last night. Well, the ones that matter anyway, right? Mm. We got 30 Rock, Community, CSI with the Biebs was on last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's my electric cigarette you can hear in the background. So and Tony's just like fidgeting over here because he's a smoker too, and now he's just like he wants to take out one of his cigs and just start smoking it, but he can't because it's not an e-cigarette. I'm sorry, you can't plug any of those in.
Name your price,
right? So let's see. Okay, so 30 Rock came out. Let's see, Community. I already mentioned that. What was the other one last night? That kind of took over for Parks and Rec.
Well, they shelved Parks and Rec to bring in. It's a remake of the movie that they went to India for outsourced. That's what it's called, right?
Right, right.
Outsourced, not bad.
You watched it?
I watched it. Not bad.
See, when I saw the previews for that show, I was just like, I don't know, because it looked like it just had a bunch of like. You know, kind of lame gags in it and stuff. It was more just making fun of people who are brown than it.
It's definitely being carried by the Indian accent. First episode. But hey, man, I'm laughing.
Right. Joke. I mean, joke. The Indian accent is pretty funny, right? It did The Simpsons a lot of good, mm-hmm. right? That's a good question though, because it seems like now more than ever, like. Kind of racist jokes are no longer really passé. They're coming back a little bit here, and it seems like nobody really cares anymore too, because you know we have a black president now, and he's doing an okay job, you know,
mm-hmm.
According to some, and sure. not according to others.
Sure,
but I will say that I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the prez, but that's beside the point. But yeah, like it does seem like the racist jokes are kind of making their way back into the mainstream a little bit.
Yeah, it's gone full loop.
it became really bad at one point, and now it's just like meh.
Yeah, it's like
yeah. Like everybody kind of grew some thicker skin a little bit, right?
Yeah, everyone understands. Everyone loves it. Gets a laugh.
Even the people who are getting made fun of.
Yeah.
Because there's like a lot of shows out there that are actually like making fun of white people mm-hmm. like us.
Right.
You know, there's tons of shows out there that are making fun of white. That's okay, Tony. You can open a beer. Yeah, it's okay. That's part of every show that we have. Something gets cracked.
I just bowed away from the
right?
microphone.
Yeah.
Utter disgrace right there.
But don't you think that's right though? Because like most shows. Like, let's take, like, that old show with Jason Lee, My Name is Earl.
Okay.
That really made fun of white people.
Well, and the trend of the fat blue-collar worker with the hot
right,
life show.
Right, right.
Well, which Jim, one? The Heffernans.
Oh. You're just going to start naming off all the shows that are on, like, the CW or something?
Yeah, you know, all those shows.
You watch a lot of daytime TV, Alex?
I just watch a lot of TV.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, too, like, the new... Because usually I watch a lot of like television shows in the fall because it's all new. Like I love 30 Rock. But like this is going to be super, super bad for my waistline. Because
right.
like, I mean, I seriously, like I was telling you guys earlier, like I have literally, I keep on gaining weight. Like once you hit 30, right? It's like,
yeah,
shit just gets fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you guys are both pretty skinny, so I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Mr. Blue Eyes over here,
that's
Tony.
Peru. Talking
that's right Peru, there. Right there?
That's loads of ceviche to keep you fat.
Oh, ceviche is so good.
Well, I'm what they call skinny fat.
You are skinny fat.
Yeah, I have small arms, small chest, and just a pooch of a belly.
Just a pooch?
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's warm.
Now, is it a pooch or a paunch?
It's a paunch.
It's a paunch.
It's a
paunch. That's what I thought.
Big paunch.
Yeah.
Women have
actually
a
got made
that
fun
is so racist
in Lima because of your paunch.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah, chicks dig you for some reason. I can't figure it out.
It's the paunch.
It is the paunch. Yeah.
I can't figure out if it's the small pecs or the paunch.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Yeah, don't whip it out. Don't whip it out. That would be bad. Yeah.
Earlier today, we were talking about the tuna fish can sized penis.
Which is
I heard about that.
Shorter than the Campbell soup can. The can.
it's just super wide, but it's only about a half an inch long.
Right.
Yeah. Right,
or the stack of nickels with the thimble on top.
That's tough. We've all
had that.
I can relate.
You know what I heard the other day from some guy? I was having lunch. It was a couple of months ago. I was having lunch with Sam Sahonis, the guy who did our website and stuff and hosts our show on the web. Which, by the way, if you ever need any web design, go to our website, www.air-raid.net, and click on Sam Sahonis' link there. The guy is amazing at what he does. Anyway, but I was at lunch with him and another guy from Wenatchee, and he stated that he was a grower, not a shower. Mm. And I'd never heard that line before. But it opened up a whole new world to me.
We've actually had this discussion, Tony and I, recently.
Have you?
We talked about it today.
This is perfect. This is perfect.
This is true.
So what were you guys talking about? What?
Well, I was just saying that I'm really not all that impressive day to day, hour by hour.
Yeah.
I'm not embarrassed about my boner.
Right. I mean, most mornings you wake up and everything's...
I would show it.
That's the showing
hour.
You feel like you
kind of have a pretty decent boner.
I have a decent boner.
But day to day, it's nothing to write home about.
Right. You know? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, nothing to write home about.
This is just between us, though, right?
It's actually...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nobody's going to hear this anyway. Yeah, so don't worry about it.
Okay, perfect. Cool.
Dodging bullets over here.
Yeah, totally. Okay, well, let's get into our stories here.
That's pretty good.
John Walsh, Current Affair.
Yeah, that's right. was John Walsh on a Current Affair?
I believe
that John Walsh? Mm. No, John Walsh was America's Most Wanted like that, right?
Right.
Yeah, he was America's Most
Wanted. Then Robert Stack was like Unsolved Mysteries. Oh, God. That's a sound drop that I need to get, man. That one right there.
I don't even like talking about that show.
Dude, we talked about it once on our podcast. It was a couple episodes ago, but that show when I was younger used to scare the living shit out of me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And most of it was the sound drops that would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, if you could get
that's
sound,
why I should have got it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you guys would have been just scared stiff.
Yeah, if you had that sound, I would be out of here.
Pun. So let's see what story should we talk about first here. Let's talk about the Stephen Colbert thing. So now did you guys see the video clip of this at all? Have you heard about this story?
I've heard about the story. I haven't seen the clip
because I told you about it on my back porch just like 10 minutes ago. Yeah,
someone was telling you about it.
I've heard about, I don't know from who, but I've heard it somewhere.
Okay, so Stephen Colbert made an in-character appearance testifying in a House committee. I think it was actually this morning. Was it this morning?
Yes.
Thank you.
From the guy who hasn't heard about it.
Right. So I think he was there to talk about migrant workers. He was actually invited to sit and do this in front of this government committee here. To talk about like migrant workers or something like that. And first of all, I don't know why he would have been invited. You know, he's a comedian. You know, he's got a large following. He's very, satirical, political comedy. Right. And, but still like,
but he's a satirist more than Jon Stewart is.
Oh yeah, totally.
I mean,
totally.
He's playing a character that,
Right. And he was in character, too, when he was invited to do this thing. So when he got there and he, got up to the mic to speak, the only part of the video that I've really seen and what I've read about is that, let's see who it is, Representative John Conyers, I probably butchered that last name, but he's a Democrat from Michigan.
No, it's Jean Cognier.
Jean Cognier?
Yes.
Is it? Did you learn French before you went to Peru? Yeah.
On accident.
So he, you know, he praised the Colbert Report. He thought it was a great show. But in the same, you know, in the same speech, he asked, you know, Colbert to actually leave. Because he knew what was going to happen, right? You know, they're trying to have a serious conversation. It's a House committee, you know. You know, it's kind of a serious place. It's not really a place to come and do, you know, your political satire, I would think.
Well, I think they broached this once before when it was, I think it was George Bush's birthday.
Right. But that was before anybody fucking knew that Colbert was like not serious about what he was. Oh, yeah, I knew too. But the Republicans didn't, you know. They thought he was like, oh, finally, you know, a funny, popular guy that's speaking our language, right?
And I think he proved to himself, to everyone, that he has balls, man.
Oh, huge balls. I mean, he's got balls of steel. He says it himself, right?
So he's going to go, he's going to do the same thing.
Right.
In this opportunity as well.
Yeah. And so he was asked to leave by this Democrat from Michigan. And he just ended up kind of, you know, not leaving and doing kind of some comedy in there. And let's see if I can find.
We got clips?
Yeah. What did he do? What did he say?
Well, for some reason, whenever I try to play these clips, I should have prepared a little bit better and gotten these clips off of here, but I can't do that now.
Probably shouldn't have had that last cigarette, should we?
Oh, man.
Damn it.
See, that just kind of messed everything up. But anyway, I just wanted to, you know, see what everybody thought about it. You know, I love Stephen Colbert. I think, you know, the guy's a genius. You know, but doing something like this, you know, in a place that's supposed to be kind of, you know, it's not sacred, but it's, you know, it's a place where shit needs to get done.
It should
right?
be sacred.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Calling it sacred is a little bit, you know, a little bit much, right, but
whatever.
But I, you know, just,
I'm out of here.
A place where jokes probably shouldn't be flying, you know,
right.
Being made of a mockery of, you know, right. our government, you know, which is kind of a mockery in itself, but,
yeah, it's a mockery.
A little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of shit going down.
Mm. Not enough.
Not enough shit.
Yeah. More shit.
More shit needs to go down.
Let's get it down.
More poop, please. More poop jokes. Okay, well, that's enough. I all I wanted to say is my two cents on that about how I think it was a bad idea to have him there.
That would have been a great teaser for the end of the show. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For the Colbert clips.
while
we do some business with America.
Right, right. Maybe I should just like put those in in post, you know, put the clips in there in post, and then we can, you know, you can hear the clips, and then you can hear us say, talk about how we can't hear the clips.
Mm-hmm.
That might be good.
All right. So they'd be playing right.
Would you listen to that right now?
Right now.
Whoa.
Oh, he actually said that shit? I can't believe it. This is blowing my mind right now. Okay. Well, let's move on here. Let's move on to our second story here. Let me get this. Second headline of the night. Zuckerberg on Oprah.
Yes.
And his $100 million donation. Did you guys see this? Like, this guy was on, he's on this list of, like, the top 20.
Just saw it.
I heard about it, like, 10 minutes ago when we were smoking.
Moneymakers in America. No, I didn't mention
No, no, not top moneymakers. Richest people.
Richest people in the world. Yeah. Right. Okay. He was like 16 or something like that.
And what is he, 23, 24 years old?
He's younger than us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got to be maybe 25 or something like that. Jesus. I don't know. Wow. But yeah, dude, like the guy's worth like something like 10 billion, something like that. 16 billion or something. I can't remember.
We sold like a 1.5% for $1 billion or something. Just
are
recently.
You serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. Wow.
I don't know what's... I'm,
can you imagine...
I'm throwing shit out there, but...
Yeah, right. You're a real number cruncher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine being that age and having that much money?
No. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had 20 on a scratch ticket last weekend, and I thought I was doing all right.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah.
Happy as a clam.
Yeah. I finally... Like, I play Mega Millions all the time, And so I finally won like $10. Seriously. Like
I've been playing Mega Millions.
No. I wouldn't be here right now if that had happened. We'd be out at like the Mandarin Gate or something like that, just eating nice General Tso's chicken and drinking Mai Tais. But
sounds amazing.
So I can't imagine what I'd be doing.
Yeah, actually, okay, that's exactly what I'd be doing.
Let's wrap this up. Let's get down there.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be at any place special. I'd just be over at the Mandarin Gate, over in the Oak Tree Plaza.
Over ordering.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Give me another order of your fried rice, please.
Two of everything, please.
But yeah, I just won like $10 on the Mega Millions, and like I had never won that much on Mega Millions. And you know, every time like you do the little scan thing, you know, you scan your ticket and the thing, and it's just like, you know, you wait for it. It's only like a split second that you wait for it, but it's still just like, I know I won this time, not a winner.
Do you know how you would react if you did win?
I'd probably just try to play it cool. Like, you mean jackpot?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'd try to play it cool. Like
you wouldn't pull your boner out or anything.
I would go ballistic.
You think you would?
Just absolutely.
Running spread eagle through the aisles of the grocery store.
I'd start raking. I'd be raking. Just knocking Twix and sweet tarts and chocolate milk. And
supermarket sweet.
So what you're saying is you'd go on a sugar binge. Tony would go on a sugar binge if he were
right. Full size hams going in the car.
Just diapers, vitamins, like.
Vitamins Flintstone, right? Now they have the gummy ones.
St. John's Wort.
One gallon of vitamin C's, you know, because they sell them that big. I think just going to town.
Would you get the vitamin C, like the wafer ones?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever have those? Like my grandma.
Like candy.
Right. And it was always like your grandparents that had those things, right?
No. Would they put them under your tongue?
No. You chew them. Oh. They were like these big wafers, and
they're huge.
Yeah, they were gigantic. And they kind of had like a vanilla flavor to them almost.
Mm. They're delicious.
Delicious, but super, super tart. So like you'd stick it on your tongue and you'd start chewing into it and it'd just be like bitter beer face, you know, bitter beer face.
So that's what you guys would do with your Mega Millions?
Yeah. Just buy a bunch of vitamin C wafers.
Dude, like can you imagine? That's how healthy you could get.
Big boxes in the corner stacked up. It'd be great.
You'd be like Elaine in Seinfeld and her
cinnamon babka.
No, not the cinnamon vodka, but that's a great episode. No, I was talking about the episode where the sponge.
Oh, she buys.
Yeah, she buys boxes of the sponge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the contraceptive. Tony doesn't know what we're talking about.
I don't really watch TV.
I know that's why you were super quiet when we were talking about.
I don't really read either.
You don't read. You don't watch TV. No. So you're not exactly smart, but you're not exactly stupid either.
Okay.
Ouch. Yeah. That was mean.
I like to look at pictures. That's kind of my thing.
You got a bunch of picture books. You've got a whole like wall just full of them. Right. Absolutely. Okay. That's cool.
Do you have a drop that'll take Tony off the edge here?
I'm back.
Apropos.
We'll just blow you up there. So wow, we really got off topic here. Let's get our headline back here.
Mega Millions?
Focused.
No, we were talking about Mark Zuckerberg. Is that his name, Mark?
I think so.
But anyway, so he went on to Oprah and is donating $100 million to some sort of school.
I got a question.
What?
Is he richer than Oprah at this point? Is that possible?
You know, I don't know.
That's not possible.
Because I don't think she would have him on if he was, maybe.
Did you look? You looked at that list of the richest people, though. Oprah was not on it.
My attention span went to 7. I didn't get down there. Oprah was not at 7, so I was looking for Howard Stern.
I know that he's richer than Steve Jobs.
Jesus.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mud on me.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah. I think he's probably richer than Oprah.
Did I read Bill Gates is 17 years running?
Yeah,
something
like that.
Richest man in America?
Yeah, $54 billion.
I wonder why he lives on Lake Washington. That doesn't even make sense.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful. Especially this time of year.
Have you seen his house, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing is fucking gigantic.
Yeah, we used to park out front in my buddy's jet boat and smoke bowls.
And just wave?
Yeah, just admire it.
Hey, Uncle Bill.
Yeah, Willie.
If you get too close to a security guard, you're going to come barreling out of the woods.
Oh, yeah, totally.
You can't get too close to that dock.
Yeah, yeah. I would imagine. Okay, so Mark Zuckerberg, he's donating $100 million. Third time we're going to try for this here.
Wait, give us that. Give us the current affair again.
Do we need the sound drop again?
One more time.
Here we go.
Okay, let's move.
All right. Mark, we're not even drunk yet. This is terrible. So, $100 million to a school, some sort of school. I think it's more of a scholarship fund, I think. And a lot of people are saying that because the social network, the movie about Facebook, is coming out today, that he kind of did this as a little bit of a PR stunt. Because the movie itself does not really portray him in a favorable light. I think it's, you know, kind of, wasn't there there's a big thing about, like, he stole the idea from somebody, at his college or something like that.
I think I just realized.
MySpace claim too was the same story, wasn't it?
Oh, did MySpace?
I think there was a similar scandal. Somebody had the idea and stole it from a buddy and.
Right. What came out first, though? Was it MySpace or Facebook? MySpace, yeah, MySpace was, right?
Facebook always took on more of the international role, you know, more global than MySpace did. I think that's kind of how I took it. I don't know if that's true or not.
Right. But I think, like, Facebook actually started, because I remember, like, first hearing about Facebook, and it was more of, like, it was right after I had graduated college, and I just kind of heard about it. And I think it was more of, like, for students, mm-hmm. right? It was for college campuses.
Right.
To hook up with, you know, different people and you know, meet new people and stuff like that. But yeah, I think MySpace was kind of out at that time. I don't know what was made first, but yeah, so he had, and I think this is what a large part of the movie is actually about, is that there were some friends of his that actually ended up suing him, and he settled with them for like $50 million.
Nice.
Something like that.
It's a good settlement.
Which is pretty good settlement. Yeah, I think he could possibly live off that, I guess.
For a while.
You know?
I just figured out what I would do if I was a billionaire.
Go.
If you won the Mega Millions?
Yeah, I would not give a fuck what people thought about me.
Well, there
right.
I mean, I would dip
there
away. It definitely wouldn't be on Oprah, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Probably be at Mancora Peru right now.
Yeah. I'd be president of Mancora Peru. Or Haiti. Maybe I'd be president of Haiti.
Haiti's a help.
Oh, yeah, see, you're a good man. You're a good man. But so what do you think? Do you think he was doing kind of this damage control
due diligence?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you have like, I don't know how much he has. It's like 16 or 6 or something like that. But $16 billion, if you got that much money,
I mean,
like $100 million is not.
Right.
That's like a drop in the bucket
right.
for you.
But how much money does it take to kill a movie? You know, like, couldn't he have paid to just kill that movie idea?
Probably.
Buy the script?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I don't really buy
just
it.
Just spitballing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing what sticks against the wall.
Yeah. We're having a brainstorming session
right.
here. This is like a think tank. This mm-hmm. is the Air Raid
yeah.
think tank right now.
I call it the drunk tank.
Well, you might be there before the end of the night, but yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I guess it's a pretty convenient.
Right, right.
But maybe, and who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. But man, that's a lot of money. And like, you can't possibly spend that much money in a lifetime, right?
Oh, yeah.
Billions?
Yeah, well.
Billions? Like 16 billion?
Oh,
well,
boy.
What would I do with 16 billion?
That's a lot of money.
That's a whole nother show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We could go on for hours about
yeah,
that shit.
We could.
Yeah.
I'd definitely frost the tips of my pubes. Would be the first
would you?
Yeah.
You just what right, color would you go?
No, just white.
Oh, just white?
Just, like,
just
I look
blonde?
Like, I look like Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri down below.
Yeah, down below.
You get a That's tattoo, like, name your member Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
Fieri.
You know how I know that you're gay?
That's got to cost a few bucks.
It's not cheap. It's
keep
not cheap.
That up?
It, yeah, yeah. You know, I saw that show for the first time the other night, and it was like, it was some sort of like USA, I don't know, it was right after like September 11th or something like that, and there was a lot of patriotism
oh
going on
oh
TV,
boy.
You know, and they had some, not to bash our nation's military, but, you know, they had some military guys on there that had been wounded and stuff like that, and they were doing, they were, you know, doing their stupid human tricks up there. And like at one point, it was just like, it was just like, you know, people were chanting like USA, USA, like for some guy who's trying to like get a ring around a bottle, you know.
Oh, was it Win It in a Minute?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. What did you think I was talking about?
You're talking about his culinary show.
Oh no, with the flames on his refrigerator.
Yes.
Well, Tony has no idea what we're talking about right now. He doesn't even own a television.
I was just thinking about in Peru when I was arm wrestling locals and Alex was standing off to the side, ankle deep in the sand, screaming, USA, USA.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we had to.
Oh, fuck.
That happens. They were pretty big guys.
It wasn't my choice.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to go to a musical break right now. And when we come back, we're going to talk with you guys about your time in Peru. And, you know, some poop stories.
Sure.
And some other stuff. And, this is Matt and Kim with Daylight. So we'll be right back, everybody. All right. Hey, we are back. Welcome back, dudes, to Air Raid.
Good to be back.
Yeah. That was a great song, by the way. So yeah, we're back and we're going to talk a little bit about this Tony's borrowing my electronic cigarette here. It's getting passed around. You guys don't have herpes, do you? You do.
I loved a woman who wasn't clean.
It's been a while.
It's been a while since she's had it. All right. Well, we've got what? We got, you guys went to Peru, right? You had some adventures.
Sure.
And when did you go? So you went a couple, or you got back a couple months ago.
We went in a couple of different times. I had flown into Buenos Aires February 24th.
Uh-huh.
And then traveled around, and Alex actually met me in Cusco on what day was that?
It was
May 1st?
May 31st.
No, that was not right. No. That's not right at all. It was May 1st because we
get your facts straight, boys.
We did the Inca Trail on the 5th.
Right.
May 1st is when the diarrhea began.
Or April 31st, maybe.
Whatever it was, I don't know. I just remember being face down in my bed, having him kick my door in because I was passed out drunk.
So I get an email.
This was in Peru, or
this was
here in
Seattle?
This was
in Peru. Well, the one we're speaking of was in Peru. Yeah.
Okay.
So my
journey
began with an email.
Move a little bit closer to the mics, guys.
My apologies. My journey began in Seattle with a little email from Tony saying, I'm in Bright Hostel in Cusco. This is the information I had to work with. What are we, 6,000 miles away?
Something like that.
So I, you know, planes, trains, and automobiles over there. I get in a taxi,
right.
And I talk to this taxi, and he's like, yeah, I know where it's at. So he, of course, drives into town, has to ask like six people on the side of the road if they know where it's at. Finally get there, get to the front door, and I was like, is Tony here? Tony Hornstein? And like, Anthony, yeah, Anthony's here. I'm like, all right, is this Anthony? Like, who is this? So we go up.
So you changed up your whole name.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm on Facebook as Bert Wickers, so I got a whole nother scheme of names.
Well, hopefully after this show now, you'll get a bunch of friend requests, hopefully.
Thanks, guys.
You just used your plug, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, you get one plug per show. You just used it on yourself.
Come check out my awesome status right now.
Anyway, so I'm there with this little Peruvian hostess there who's like, Anthony's here. Yeah, he's in this room. I'm like, okay, I guess Anthony is my friend Tony Hornstein from Woodinville. Halfway across the world.
Right,
so
right.
We go, we're knocking on the door, and there's no answer. Just someone sawing logs in the room.
Which has got to be a telltale
sign.
She's
like,
me.
And because Tony's the only guy in the world who saws logs.
Yeah, yeah. You're the only man in the world that has a snoring problem.
Look.
Right.
You know
Come on.
I still will say I don't snore.
You narcissistic motherfucker.
I've never heard myself snore. I definitely don't snore.
Anyway, long story short, she gets the keys, gets me in, and it's Tony, face down in the pillow, sawing logs. Room stinks.
Did he have a dildo in his butt?
I didn't look, but
I hit the dildos. I knew he was coming.
He was relaxed. He was definitely relaxed.
Well, that's awesome. So you went down there, Tony. You were there for a while. Then, what? How long were you there before Alex got down there?
I was there. Let's see, March, April. I was there for a little over 2 months, and then Alex joined me.
Okay.
So I'd been down in Argentina and Chile, and then spent about a month in Bolivia, and then
Lake
Titicaca, straight across to Titicaca, straight across to Cusco to meet Alex. That's just fun. So you guys try to say it with me. Lake
Titicaca. That is cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
I like that.
Yeah.
The special was trout. And of course, I wasn't that excited about trout being from the Pacific Northwest.
Trout.
Right.
Try the trout.
Yeah, I've had enough. I've had enough, guys.
Taco.
So did you have any, stomach issues?
Well, funny you should ask.
Well, Jesus.
Do you like that segue?
Yeah,
all I had was stomach issues. So Cusco's what, 11,000 feet on its own?
11 or 12,000
feet elevation.
Like, I don't know. I don't pay attention to that stuff. Again, I don't really read very well.
Yeah. So. I didn't do much studying. And supposedly you're supposed to take it easy a couple days there and let your body acclimate to the altitude there.
Right, right.
That's the opposite of what I did. Tony,
so you just whooped it up, right?
Yeah, I got there, took a nap after my travel.
Because I wasn't out of bed yet.
Because Tony wasn't out of bed yet.
Right.
But I was raring to go. It was my day one. And Tony and I went into town, and we just started drinking around five or six.
I like this idea.
I went to this club called Mythology, which was beautiful club.
A lot of chicks there?
Amazing club.
A lot of chicks.
You are one Latina Fantastica.
Speaking of Latino Fantastica, have you spoken to Linda in a while?
I just spoke to her yesterday.
Linda.
So, Linda, I took a fancy to Linda on the dance floor. And she accepted my fancy that I was bringing to her.
Yeah, exactly. She accepted your advances.
Yes.
Right, right.
Pretty good.
On the dance floor. But
I have seen you dance before. You're a pretty little boy.
You can scoot.
Sexy.
You can scoot.
It's sexy.
Yeah.
And the stomach issues were really kicking up, so I had to go.
So what did you eat? I mean, did you eat something bad down there or something?
No,
it's just
the elevation.
The elevation did it?
Gives you bubble guts.
Well,
and
we each went to a tourist restaurant. I think it was called Joe's or Jack's.
Jack's. But that,
and we each had chicken noodle soup.
This was after that.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's all blurring together for me. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so I went. I excused myself from the dance floor and from lovely Linda to go take a dump in this club. And
by the way, aren't those the worst? Well, where you have to do it, like even in another country, like it's the worst thing that you could ever do is if you have a problem like that you have to live through it in public.
Yeah.
Like I was down. You guys are good friends. You grew up, Alex, with TC,
right?
Friend TC of the show here. Husband to our Canadian correspondent, Paige Sandylands. But we went down to Venezuela when we graduated college.
Right.
And I made the fatal mistake in a small mountain town to eat a street hot dog. And they just kind of loaded everything onto it.
Seems safe.
Yeah.
I'd do it.
Well, it seems safe until the guy just started globbing on all this, like, mayo. That quite possibly could have been sitting there out in the heat in Venezuela for quite some time.
Yeah.
And man, we were staying in this hostel, and like the our room that we were staying in, we had like five people staying there, and the room that we were staying in had no ceiling.
Classic.
It was just like it would go up to the ceiling of the main building, and then out into the lobby.
Right.
And so people are coming in. I was dying for like two days. Yeah. I had bought like a ticket to this gondola ride up into the Andes Mountains where it was like snow in Venezuela.
And yeah.
Nobody in Venezuela had ever seen snow. So it was like this big trip, you know, that you could take up there. And I couldn't go because I was just pooping my brains out.
Crappers.
Yeah. Big time.
How was that mayo though? It tasted good, right?
The first night went okay in the mountain town. Yeah. But then, things just got real rough there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, sorry. I didn't mean to kind of take it away from you.
That was a very good poop
about
story
your,
so far.
Your story.
We're off to a good start.
Okay.
All poo stories are welcome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so I went to take...
Yuck.
Anyway, I went to take dumpers in the bathroom, and this guy followed me in like, oh, you want to do coke? I was like, no, man, I got to take a dump. And he's like, are you serious?
It's like, no American comes into the bathroom Peru and doesn't want to do coke.
I'm going to take a dump. It's like, if you want to come in here, do your coke, that's fine, but I'm dumping. So I thought I was fine after that. I was like, all right, you know, it takes a strong move to get into the bathroom and admit that you have to take a dump in a club. Once you do that, you figure, okay, I took the dump. Clear for the rest of the night.
I really like how you say dump, by the way.
It was.
You really emphasize the duh.
It's one of my favorite words.
Yeah, dump.
And so I took my dump.
Keep going.
And I went back out into the dance floor, and I was dancing here and there, and sure enough, my stomach started bubbling up, not feeling good. So I tried to quietly release a little fart.
Oh, no.
Never trust a fart.
No. Especially when you got bubble guts.
Especially the elevator.
Yeah.
A little bit came out.
Oh. Sorry, dude.
Okay, so.
That's not the real story?
Kept dancing. Tried it again. A little bit more came out. Tony was waiting outside for me, and I was having a nice time with Linda, so I went out. I ran out to tell Tony that I had had a little accident.
Wrong.
And that I was going back in.
Wrong.
And so
that is definitely the wrong idea. That's why I buzzed you twice.
Well, you know, it's you get into that mode of once in a lifetime.
Because you just couldn't leave. Like, what was her name? Linda?
Linda.
Linda?
She was
so was Linda a native Peruvian?
She was not only Peruvian, but she was, what's the word I'm looking for? Quechua, maybe?
Quechua might be right.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not much of a reader.
She was your classic Andean woman.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Quechua?
Quechua's the language. I don't know what they're called.
Quechuaian?
Cuscoian.
Let's just go with that.
Yeah, she's from Cusco.
Yeah.
Cusco in. So, and my other excuse for not being able to leave the dance floor is that they kept playing Gasolina by
Daddy Yankee.
By Daddy Yankee. Rich.
Right, right.
Yes, addictive
song. So that song is still big down there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, forever. I would hate to go down there.
So what's the trend down there now? Because like it seems like in South America, like everything kind of hits a little bit late down there.
That could be true.
Have you guys noticed that? Like,
well, it's hard for me to notice this because I was down there when I was 29 years old, so everything hits a little bit late with me as well.
Right, right. You're not very fashionable either. So,
No. So it was right on time for me.
We are both wearing flannel right now.
Right.
I think timing-wise, I mean, as far as that's concerned, I think clothing is just completely different down there.
It is, yeah.
If you're talking Euphrata, then maybe...
Where's Euphrata?
You mean Euphrata?
Euphrata. What are you afraid of? Well, right next to Quincy. That's what
you're afraid of. Euphrata is a town in eastern Washington.
Oh, gotcha.
But they're behind. That's obviously behind because they're from the Pacific Northwest.
Right, right.
Peru, yeah. You know, it just kind of rolls off you. You're like, yeah. You know, she's wearing...
Well, they're, yeah. And they're not necessarily behind as far as where we're at. They're just... They have their own thing. There's songs you hear down there that you won't hear up here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, totally. I noticed it in my travels down there in Central and South America. Like, all the women, lot of breast augmentations.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wish I would have seen more of that.
Didn't notice that.
Yeah. God and damn. A lot of, like, really tight skirts and stuff. Even, like, not at clubs, you know. It's just, like, it was all over the place. Women in... really scantily clad attire.
I must have,
where did you go?
What's the bus that you took to get there?
God damn it.
Yeah, sorry to...
Are you sure
sorry to drop that bomb on you.
Sure you're not talking about Lake City?
Just north of Seattle? Yeah.
So, anyway, my...
yeah, let's move on.
Let's move on to some travel log.
Okay.
Onto our travel log.
Okay.
Excuse the pun again.
That was a good one.
Thank you.
That was a really good one.
Really nice.
Yeah.
So I, needless to say, I was bedridden for 2 days after that and had to miss my date with Linda.
Oh.
No, Kelly Clarkson!
I have been constantly feeding him coca tea because that's the myth and the legend of altitude sickness is drink your coca tea.
Right. It makes you kind of, turns your stomach a little warm, doesn't it?
I had a bout with altitude sickness in Bolivia in Potosi, which is supposed to be the highest city in the world.
Right.
It is or not, but that's what they say.
Move in a little bit on that mic there, Tony.
I was just saying that. I'm not sure if that's what they say. I'm not sure if that's true or not. So I had already gone through this, and so I thought I had the recipe for Alex as he was dealing with this
sickness,
misery, if you will.
Yeah, Tony was a beautiful friend. I was laying in bed, sweating, cold.
Oh,
the walls were spinning.
That's
Tony,
the worst.
About every 45 minutes, Tony would come up with another treat, whether it was water. Coca tea, or the one that really got me was the hard coca candy.
Mm.
That made me puke.
So did that kind of stuff, like, is it concentrated like coca leaf?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's basically dried coca leaf.
The tea,
Yeah. But like I'm talking about the hard candy.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's like
because it didn't give
all
you
all for tourists only.
Right,
see the locals chewing that or eating the cookies. When I saw coca cookies, I just assumed it was like pot cookies.
Right,
have been made from cocoa butter.
Yeah,
and I don't know.
They get you high for like 2 seconds.
It doesn't. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't at all.
It was like a nice green flavor, and then you're done.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I just was looking at. I was like, what can I do to make this guy better? We're trying to go on the Inca Trail in the next couple of days. And so I was
up to Machu Picchu,
feeding him
like
everything I could find.
And we had 2 days.
He eventually looks at me and he goes, "Dude, I think I'm fucking allergic to coca tea."
So you've just been making him worse and worse.
Well, it's like I'm not getting better. That's for sure.
Quit feeding me this shit.
So eventually, you did get better. Kinda. Really?
So,
that's a. Yeah.
Okay, so
we had our
orientation 2 nights later, and I made it to that.
This is the orientation for the trail.
The Inca Trail.
Right.
And, you know, they put you at ease there. They tell you, like, oh, everyone's made it. We've never had anyone turn around, this and that. I made it through that. Tony and I went to go eat. Afterwards, they told us to eat a light meal, so we went to this gringo restaurant, which all the gringos eat at, and decided to get chicken soup because it's a nice light meal. So we wake up at, to what, 4:30?
Yeah, I think Gasolina was playing on the alarm clock.
Yeah, we had Gasolina, so we knew we'd get up because we had a dance.
Right, right, yeah.
And shit my pants again. And
I'm a joke maker.
And so we get on the bus, whatever. We make it up there. They give us our shitty little breakfast to start.
Right.
And I got a dump again.
Man, it's just coming straight out of you, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I got a dump again. And this time it's just a hole in the ground. And you give the lady at the door, who's standing right next to this open outhouse. It's just basically like a little open shed with open, everything's open. I give her, a peso? What is it?
I don't remember.
Whatever the currency
yeah, whatever
is down
the
there.
Currency yeah, currency in Peru was. I give him one.
The sole.
Sole, thank you. Yeah. It's a sole. And she gives me just like, she wraps the toilet paper around her hand a couple times, hands it to me. I was like, man,
this
you don't have any
not,
idea.
Yeah. This is not America.
So I lean over the hole.
Not America.
I lean over the hole and do what I can, and then proceed with the hike. I think Tony, you died out there.
I was really reluctant to use the facility because I had been at elevation for about a month, so I thought no way altitude hit me.
Right.
So we're going through orientation and doing the luggage check, and I feel the rumble, and I feel the stomach start dropping stairs.
Right, right.
And so I decide I've got
that's a really good analogy for that. That's a really good, yeah. Yeah, dude.
You know it's coming. And there's no getting out of it. I knew we had a decent hike ahead of us.
And I learned early, there's no trusting your farts.
No, it's
definitely
not. You feel that normally, like when you're laying in bed, you feel the staircase, as Tony puts it. You can just like, you know, change positions and let out a nice clean fart.
That's all I wanted to do. I mean, that would have made it better. So I decided to go for it. You know, and I've traveled before. You know, I've shat in holes. Whatever. I'm going to go for it. So I get up there, and like Alex described, this lady's standing there. And I was the first one. I went after you.
I don't remember.
I went after you because I come around the corner, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Don't you stall number two." And I knew exactly what he meant because in Bolivia, I had speckled the back of this bathroom from a similar deal when I was coming down with my altitude sickness.
Right,
oh no. And you've got this one really sweet lady working the door, you know, and you know she's got to clean it.
Oh, that poor woman. You ruined her day.
Absolutely. But she ruined mine because she didn't give me enough toilet paper.
So same story with you too, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. So I had to cough up a few extra soles to get the appropriate amount of toilet paper. And let's just say it was one of those dumps when you're like trying not to make a lot of noise,
right,
because you know the kids are playing right there.
Oh, see, I hate that, dude. Like a, oh god.
Yeah, you know.
So you're really, I mean, you're really working that muscle down there just to like kind of hold everything in.
And I had turned,
which makes it worse, by the way.
It does make it worse.
Yeah,
because
you're building up pressure.
It's terrible. Right. So I feel like I'm done. I turn around. Of course, I've made a mess of the place. I feel terrible. I walked out the door, gave the lady 5 soles, and just hightailed it from my backpack because I knew her out of there.
And you know, she was like standing right there,
so she could hear everything.
She
knew exactly what was going on. She sits there every day of every month, and she knows what dump goes in the toilet and what dump goes out of the toilet.
Right, right.
And I guarantee she knew exactly what Alex and I had just done to her bathroom. And I felt terrible. Alex hasn't shown much remorse, but
he doesn't even have any remorse on his face right now.
He just left. I don't know where he is.
Anyway, so we started the trail, and I'm second guessing. Tony's brimming with confidence at this point.
I feel pretty good, you know. I didn't really admit that I had come down with, I don't think it was altitude at that point because I'd been at elevation.
Right.
I think what we had eaten at Jack's in Peru.
Yeah. Jack's Cusco.
That's okay. You can use that name. I don't think we have any Peruvian listeners.
I think that we had come down with some sort of food poisoning because I was convinced it wasn't altitude for me.
Right. Right.
Maybe it was, but again, I don't think so.
Well, you had been there for a while too. Like it sounds like it's something that you guys ate or like lay off the booze.
Right.
A little bit.
That's what I would suggest anyone going to Cusco is to stay away from the booze, at least.
And the heroin. Stay away from the heroin because it gives you the shits.
Well, that was a nice way to bed down.
Yeah. If you want to bed someone down.
So we began on this trek.
Yeah,
and,
I struggled mightily the first day. I had to abandon some of my gear. I needed some real assistance. Got up to the first camp first night. Tony helped me out a lot.
Now, how long was the first leg of the trail?
First one was
eight hours.
It was eight. It was like
9 hours.
12, 14 kilometers. So maybe like 8 miles. But
it was something. Like, it wasn't brutal. It was only brutal because we were feeling well. But it was
right.
You know, we stopped for lunch.
Little up and mostly down until you get to this valley before you make the big climb.
The big climb. So the big climb's like the next day or something like that. You stay in the valley.
The big
first
climb for that day. So it was probably like kind of like up and down, but then we had the big climb for the day. Yeah. was the last part.
The major valley you're going up is Dead Woman's Pass is the pass right at the top. So night two is camp halfway up that pass,
mm-hmm.
and day three is a big day as well. I mean, they both sucked, man. And I'll tell you that. I mean, that's why they call it once in a lifetime. We talked about this because I'm never doing that shit again. Like,
really?
Yeah, fucking amazing, right? I mean. Great.
It was incredible.
Incredible. Yeah. And maybe if, you know, somewhere down the road, my wife or kids or down in the future have a burning desire to do it, but I'll never do that shit again.
So it was pretty pretty arduous.
Well, the second day we woke up and I was feeling, they gave me some saline solution so I would get hydrated again because I couldn't hydrate myself. I couldn't eat. Everything I ate went straight out. So I had some solution. I got up and Tony and I, you know, if you haven't been up and out in like really high altitudes, it's hard to explain, but you can take.
Now, what altitude were you guys at?
Eventually,
we
got up to 14,000 feet.
14,000?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
yeah,
I've never,
so that's got to really mess with you.
Yeah. And it's, you know, when it gets up to a certain altitude, there's the bushes are low, so the sun's not hiding.
Right.
There's nothing.
Yeah, you're getting real sunburnt, even though you don't know it because it's colder.
It's
and
there was quite a bit of exposure.
There's a lot of exposure, and you're drying out. And it was 10 steps, fall to the side of the trail. And you could see everyone all up and down this trail doing the same thing, 10 steps and just falling over.
Really?
Yeah, it's really, really hard. And Tony made the statement, too. He's like, I've never been 15 feet away from the peak of where I'm going and had to take another break. But that's really what it is.
Right,
you
right.
Have
well,
to
you
take
start
a
running
break.
A little low on air.
I used to be a backcountry ranger for the Park Service, and I used to trek, you know, miles and miles and miles. That was my job.
Right.
But never at that elevation. You know, my peak was like, you know, 8,000 feet.
Right.
Maybe 9,000 feet on a big, big trek. And, yeah, like Alex said, we're sitting there and we can see the top. People are taking pictures and we're honestly 20 to 30 feet from that summit. And we're going, okay, fuck this, man. We need to take a break and let me just take my pack off for an hour. And we were right there. No interest. No,
really?
It's crazy, man. It
so,
sucks it out
so of what did I mean? You guys had to have there had to be like guides with you.
Yeah.
Like Sherpas
all,
or
right, exactly.
Something like that.
Chaskas. The PC Chaska.
Yeah, that
sorry.
Means,
Sherpas are Indian, right?
Those
or
guys
Tibetan.
Are, those guys are
well,
nuts
I think it's
because
the same
they
thing.
Would.
Yeah.
They just call it Chaska. I think is Chaska. They call it
it's, Chaska. I think means messenger,
mountain runner.
Mountain
or
runner.
Something like that.
So are they carrying like the bulk of the stuff or do they have like donkeys or
no, they would carry our tents and they would set up full kitchens for us. So mm-hmm. when we'd stop for lunch, we'd walk like 4 or 5 hours and then stop for lunch and they'd already have the kitchen set up for us with a tent and we could sit down and eat lunch with like hot soup.
So they just got they would be there waiting for you guys for like 4 hours.
Yeah, and then we'd leave, we'd get our shit and leave and they would pack up everything and then like maybe an hour up the path they would come trotting by us with these huge packs and they were like, you know, 5 feet tall maybe.
Right.
And they would
just
come running past us and we're like,
oh my God.
Well, usually with very little footwear.
Yeah.
And
sandals.
We used to call it diarrhea soup because that's what it would produce is diarrhea. We were in so much pain.
I didn't eat.
We got down down the second night, excuse me, and Alex we're in the crawling the tent, everyone's having dinner, everyone's cheersing, Machu Picchu tomorrow or whatever it was, and we're sitting in the tent and I crawl in and you know, and I look at him and he goes, Tone, this is the
you have to imagine
the
too
pits.
That we're on the peak of this mountain.
It's gorgeous, right?
Oh, right.
Incredible sunset over this miles of Andes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the most serene thing you've ever seen. And I'm just like, Tony, man. In 2 days, we're going to the beach, dude. Fuck this shit.
We had paid, I can't even, $600 or $700 to book this trip.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we had to book in advance and You know, you could do all kinds of other trails to Machu Picchu, or even around it.
Was this the easiest one?
No, this is the toughest.
This was the toughest and the most traditional. I know, like, Salt Contain, some of these other ones were very difficult, maybe even harder because they had steeper pitches and longer durations in the mountains. But this was the traditional trail, and we had both kind of said, if we're going to do it, let's just fucking do the trail.
It's also traditional because that's what the Incans, that's the actual Inca trail that they walk.
Right.
So you know, original stonework and all this
stuff. And you walk through it and you hear the stories of the Incas and their watchtowers and where they crumbled their own trail to stop the Spanish from finding Machu Picchu. And it was, I mean, worth it.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, it was.
You have to do it once. Once in a lifetime. That's it.
Right, right. Never again. Yeah.
At least not anytime soon.
But eventually, and they were like, you know, it was obvious that I was a sick guy in the crew, in the whole group, and Tony eventually became sick. I think it was sympathy sickness.
Might have been heartbreak.
But they were trying all sorts of remedies, man, like rubbing shit in their hands and putting it up to my face and then making me breathe it in.
Like poop?
No, like lemon and all sorts of weird leaves they would find.
It could have been Inca doo-doo.
It could have been Inca doo-doo. I carry that. But anyway, we made it, and it was beautiful. It was incredible.
Well, yeah, so you guys get up to this. So it took like 3 days to get up.
It was four days.
4 days.
4 days.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
God, I wish I remember. I think it was like 60 kilometers, something like that.
I can't remember
exactly. So it's
exactly
40 miles.
The
last night you're staying kind of down in the base and you climb up. It's not a real big climb. Actually, Machu Picchu sits a little lower than your max peak, which is on the Dead Woman's Pass. So you kind of spend the next couple of days walking downhill, which, to be honest, is just as hard, if not harder, than going uphill.
Yeah, it's tough.
And we come through the sun gate and the 3 o'clock in the morning and the fog's lifting and sure enough, there's Machu Picchu, and it was fucking incredible.
Oh, my God. Well, I saw some of you guys' pictures because you guys posted some of that on Facebook, and it just looked absolutely amazing. So when you get up there, like, did you finally feel like it was worth it or what?
Well, okay, so on the second day at lunch, he finally, like, snuck us this pink pill, which was like to kill a parasite. And they're not supposed to give us these heavy medications, but, you know, they're like, dude, these guys got to get through this.
Yeah.
You know, you can turn around and look at, you know, you look at this fucking, you have to go back up another 10,000.
It's like the guy who swam halfway across the ocean and decided he couldn't make it and swam back.
Right.
It's like, you're already half.
Yeah.
Right.
So finally he snuck us these little pink pills. The morning after he did that, we felt great. And then the fucking hike was awesome.
We felt great instantly. Yeah. Like, I mean, it had to have been.
Like, we drank beers that
what
night.
What the shit? Why did he wait so long?
Because he's not a doctor, so he can't administer.
Son of a bitch. But he knew what was going on. Well, like, you guys had something.
He went through everything. Like, he tried the fucking breathing in shit.
And
he deals with a lot of people, too,
who are doing this hike and decide, you know, oh, you know, I want something carry me, or this is harder than I thought. You know, even though we're younger guys, I think he was almost in a way making sure we weren't bullshitting him. And we came down this hill after Dead Woman's Pass, and we looked up and saw what we had to do, and we were just like, dude, I'm puking out of the ends. Like, I just, the fuck you expect me to do? I can't get up that hill.
Right.
After Dead Woman's Pass, dude, I hadn't eaten in like a day and a half, and I'm doing this hike, and I had to go to the bathroom, and that's when I fucking took a dump in this bathroom. I leaned back, and it was a regular toilet, but without the toilet seat, so you can hover over it. And I hovered over it, and I just fucking, you know, just let it go. And regular poo falls different than diarrhea does.
Oh yeah, diarrhea goes everywhere.
Diarrhea squirts at like a 75-degree angle.
Right.
So I sat down and I did it.
I like how you have it down to like a science.
We do
like,
now.
Yeah. I used a protractor to figure out the angle that I had to stand at.
So I took this dump and I was like, man, that did not sound like a hit water. I look behind me and it's just covered. Garbage pails covered. The whole wall behind the toilet's covered. Dude, and I walk out of there and our buddy Oliver from Germany comes walking into that same bathroom. Multiple stalls. I'm like, stay out of that one. They're probably going to take a flamethrower to that one.
Yeah, one of the things he came right over to me and he goes, dude, I made a mess in there. And I was like, yeah, man, I know this is the first time you made a mess in there. And he goes, yeah, I know. I hovered. I had to hover. There was no seat, but I had no idea the trajectory.
Oh my god!
Dude, we started calling it the Stinka Trail and the Hershey Highway.
The Hershey Highway, the very Hershey an Highway. Apt name.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Well, we're gonna take another musical break right now, and when we come back, we're gonna hear kind of the end of your story.
Sure.
All right.
Got it.
Perfect.
Okay. This is Vaseline by the Flaming Lips.
I know a girl who thinks a ghost. She'll make you breakfast. She'll make you toast. But she don't use butter. She don't use cheese. She don't use jelly.
We are back with our very, very good friends who love talking about bowel movements, Alex Lilario and Tony Hornstein.
Hornstein.
Sorry. Okay. So is that?
Forgive you.
Is that what is that? Is that Jewish?
It's
are you Jewish?
It's German.
It's German. So you hate Jewish
I
people?
Well, yeah.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
Absolutely.
We'll take that. We'll edit that shit out.
Ex-girlfriend.
And he hates her.
So you
I hate one Jewish person.
You can
she
yeah
was such a
you,
whore.
You can take that however you want, right? Okay, so we ended that last segment with you guys making it to Machu Picchu after many trials and tribulations. We'll just say trials and tribulations, okay? We won't go too into depth again, because I think most of the show so far has really been about poop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's going to happen? My dad's going to listen to this show. He's going to go like, he hasn't changed a fucking bit since he was like 10. Yeah. I remember we used to hike and camp as a family quite a bit. And we went on this one trip up to Sheep Lake. I think it's in the Cascades somewhere. It's either in the Cascades or in the Olympic. I can't remember. Anyway, it was a long time ago. But I was talking about poop so much on this trail. I must have been like, 12 years old or something like that. I was talking about poop so much. My dad got so fed up. He turns around in the middle of the trail and goes, Aaron, the next time you say the word poop, the next pile of shit we see on this trail is going straight in your fucking pocket.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I love your dad.
Yeah. My dad's a great guy. My dad's a great guy. And hopefully someday he'll I can get him on this show and we can talk about me being a little asshole. Yeah. Give the listeners a little insight into my past.
I'll listen to that.
I'm sure you will. So like I said, when we left, you guys had made it up to Machu Picchu. You made it back down. So was it about 4 days back down too?
No.
It was a quick back.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You
took the short trail. It's like a mile long.
We took the bus,
and it's flat.
Yeah. No, you take a bus down to a town, and then you train.
Oh, son of a bitch! Can you take a bus up?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Fucking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's how I'd do it. Yeah, you guys are dumb.
Yeah, we are dumb. We know that now.
Dude, do you realize that if the Incas had buses back in ancient Inca, that they'd take buses?
We'd all be Incan. They were going to rule the world.
Right. If they invented Ford before Ford.
I just want to try and imagine how much toilet paper they went through.
Everybody just constantly had altitude sickness.
What a hell of a life.
How'd they get anything done?
Right. Or everybody used to eat at Jack's and they would get parasites just constantly.
Jack's and Cusco.
Jack's and Cusco. Don't
Diarrhea
go there.
Central.
86, the chicken soup.
Right.
It's about to turn.
So you guys were mentioning during the musical break that after your Machu Picchu experience, you guys went somewhere else. Where'd you go?
We wanted to go to the beach. So
that was your request, right?
We decided about day two into this damn thing is we said, we're going to the beach.
Right.
And we're going to the beach the second we get out of this hellhole.
Right.
And so that's exactly what we did. We flew from Cusco to Lima and then took a 22-hour bus ride north to Mancora.
Which is a
sunny little surf town near the Ecuadorian border. And our plan was to kind of stay, two or three nights.
Two or three nights.
There's a story that leads into how we ended up in Mancora.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
It includes hitchhiking in a desert. But
Keeps on getting better. I have to keep on clicking on it.
It turned out great. I mean, we had a great time. We ended up in this town called Labitos, and it turned out to be a surfer hippie town, which was great because we're neither surfers or hippies. But we, what are you thinking?
Where'd that thing go?
The e-cigarette.
Oh, there it is. My e-cigarette. Where'd my e-cigarette go? We've been passing this thing around.
All right, that's it.
Keep going.
All right, that's all it is.
Okay,
so I'm going to take that out.
So we get to Mancora and we stay in this hostel called The Point, where our plan is to stay a couple of days there because there's a few beach towns up and down the coast of northern Peru and Ecuador.
Right.
And that's where we met our second family, basically, in this hostel called The Point. And it was like a big
just some house. Friends that you met up
yeah,
with?
Yeah, friends. Like everyone in this hostel, probably like 13, 14 people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you just hang out there. It was right on the beach. They had a pool. We got to be fucking
idiots.
It was
high heaven.
Like, I was 29 years old there, hanging out with 18 and 19-year-olds.
Oh, great.
having the greatest time of our lives.
Having the greatest time. I asked a girl who the most mature person
was. Oh, yeah. I like this idea.
Great drop. But it was awesome. It was absolutely
awesome. That's really cool.
So we ended up spending about 10 days there.
Yeah, we stayed 10 days.
That was the time. And so at this point, I had already fallen in love with this girl who worked there, was from Peru. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. This is it for me. I'm changing my ticket. I was supposed to go home June 1st. And I changed my ticket to come home July 1st. And I was like, you know what,
Alex? Wow.
I'm fucking staying, man. I love this place. I'm done.
Yeah. So did this girl feel the same about you or
absolutely not.
Were you kind of pushing yourself?
Absolutely not. This girl was telling me to get away from her, don't touch her, steer clear, I'm not here for you, the whole deal.
Wow.
I don't want to spend too much of this time talking about her.
Okay.
But
we can move on.
But what I will say is that Alex looked at me and he goes, "All right, man, well we got to get to Ecuador because
I made a deal. I was like, "You come with me to Ecuador then. You can come back here, but you come with me to Ecuador, to Quito, because that's where I was flying out of on the first.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave ourselves probably, 8 days?
Eight or ten days
to get to go to Quito and maybe hit around, go around. And
do a jungle tour or something like that.
We brought some jerk-offs from Mancora with us. And
wonderful. Were they 18 years old?
They were 22.
22 from the lovely island of the UK.
Yeah, we were playing Bloody Knuckles by 11:30.
Oh, shit.
In a bar.
Watching soccer.
I'm going to sum this story up and say we got kicked out of our hostel because we showed up there hammered drunk about 6 o'clock at night. I started arm wrestling everybody in the hostel. Alex jumped behind the bar, Born in the USA, on the surround sound, picked up a girl. The guy we were with spanked a married girl on the ass, and we were asked to leave.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I thought we were the hits of the party.
So that's where the singing Born in the USA came in, huh?
Yeah, that was part of it.
That was part of it.
That was a big issue.
Big part of it.
So
we did a jungle tour and came straight back to Mancora.
Yeah, I changed my ticket too.
In Quito, he looked at me and he goes, "Again, I'm gonna change my ticket. We're going back.
Yeah, we're going back.
Of course, it was great news to me. I'm gonna go back and entertain this girl and go have a great time in Mancora, which we had a fucking blast for 10 days, and I get my best friend coming with me.
Right on.
It was
absolutely
perfect.
Now, was Linda there too, or?
Linda stayed in Cusco. I just had one dance. I just had one dance with her.
Oh, that was it?
We had a date stay.
At least you found out what her name was, at least, right?
Yeah. I chatted with her 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah, on Facebook?
And what did she say to you?
She said she missed me.
So wait a minute. How long did you know this girl? How long did you know Linda? It was about like 2 hours.
Three songs of Gasoline.
Oh my God!
Back to mythology. Another little story. Tony, I looked over at Tony. He was dancing with a girl, and he had her picked up with legs around his waist, picked up dancing. So I tried to do it with Linda, and my spaghetti arms couldn't handle it.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys had a great trip.
Yeah, it was good.
And I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. It's a lot of fun hearing about all this stuff. And hopefully, sometime soon, you guys will come back.
Yeah.
And we can talk about some more of your exploits. Because I know that the both of you, especially when you hang out together, you get in a lot of shit.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And and that's what we like hearing about on airraid.net. So thank you again. Tony, Alex, Tony, where can we find you on Facebook again?
You can find me at BurtWicker.com.
Burt Wicker? And so how do you spell Wicker? Is it W-I-C-K?
W-I-C-K-E-R.
Awesome. Awesome. Burt Wicker and Alex Lalario.
Lalario.
You can also find me at CaptainBlacks.com.
That's right. That's right.
50 Cent Wings on Sundays.
Booyah.
Booyah.
Feedback Lounge, too. Don't forget Feedback Lounge, West Seattle.
Wait, are you working at your brother's new place, the HT Lodge?
Yes, Saturday nights.
Okay.
Saturday nights. But
So you're still working there?
But Blacks is a better place to
hang. Yeah. By the way, if you haven't been down to the HT Lodge, this is in Seattle in the Capitol Hill neighborhood. HT Lodge, really cool place, man.
Formerly the War Room.
Formerly War Room. Yeah.
Reformed.
Yeah, and you're probably very happy that now you have all that taxidermy stuff out of your apartment.
Kind of miss it a little bit. Bear, I miss the goat.
Did I ever tell you that I cut my finger on that bobcat's claw?
No.
Yeah.
That's another episode.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening this week. That is episode 15. We are done. Remember, now you can find us on Stitcher. You can go to Zune Marketplace and get us there. Remember to review our stuff. We need some people leaving comments. We need some thumbs up on Stitcher. We need to know that you're there. We know that you are, but we need to know more about all of you. So thank you so much for listening once again, and we will see you next week. Flip on the table.
say.